The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So I am a marketing strategist and consultant for all the people who want help marketing and selling their stuff.
We're talking small business owners, entrepreneurs, corporations.
Coaches and consultants who are online. So I take their intellectual property and we monetize it, if you will. And
okay.
Find the way for them to market and sell it. But this weekend I had to sit down and do like a new little bio, if you will, for the joy work, because it's a different kind of work. And so we landed on, I'm your joy ambassador. And okay. I am the one who's going to help you create joy, lasting joy, in your life, in your business, whatever it is, in your relationships. And so it was really fun to really think outside of marketing and selling this weekend and kind of drop into this new being.
Yeah. Now you said we landed on, do you have a team of people?
Yeah, I have a team. So I've got a virtual assistant, an online business manager, a spouse who's deep in these conversations, and a graphics person.
Okay.
And I got a little small team going on. So I emailed them a whole bunch, like, your joy mentor, your joy advocate, your joy. And they all came back and said, ambassador. Like,
okay, that's what they like.
Joy ambassador for people.
Right, very good.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey, I'm Shannon Hernandez, and I am the Joyful Marketing Strategist. I help coaches and consultants around the globe get back to joy in their marketing and selling and make more money with lots of time off.
Shannon, so welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you coming on. I thank Tina Dietz, if anybody listens, her episode was out a little while ago, for introducing us. And I'm excited to talk about all the joyful strategies that you bring to people's lives. But if we go back, I told you off the mic, I want you to kind of talk about your background, you know, where you're from and kind of how you got to where you are. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a marketing strategist. So, or maybe you did, but you'll tell me that as you go through the story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally fun. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for being here.
So I was a teacher for 15 years. I taught the crazy eighth graders.
Okay. An age my wife wants to stay away from. She likes high school math instead of eighth grade.
Oh, yeah. I had sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And okay. My spot was eighth grade inner city Harlem.
Wow.
So it was like total.
Yeah, like less teaching and more like survival, right?
Most days it was just like how good can I be at telling stories and entertaining so that we all get out of here alive today?
Yeah. I had a friend teaching in like Newark. He used to teach in our town. And I said, how's it going? Like, you know, what's, are you guys preparing for the whatever test we had at the time, right? He goes, preparing for the test. I'm like dealing with like some kid upset some girl's boyfriend, and then she came into the room, punched him in the face. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's hard to teach under those circumstances.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
So I did that for 15 years. And in the 15th year, I decided, while I do love teaching, there's got to be a more joyful way to go about this and not feel so energetically drained at the end of every day.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So
15 years is a good, you know, good milestone, right? You reached 15 years.
Yeah, so good. And I affected a lot of lives. And I was one of those teachers that when I let my current class that year, you know, let them know that was my last year. Parents came because they wanted their siblings to have me, and they were upset and like had to do like family. Nice.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, it shows you're working hard and you're doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I was in, I always say, yes, I was in education, but I was really in the business of developing awesome citizens for the world. That's how I showed up to my class.
That's a good way to approach it for sure. Yeah.
So we had a hurricane. So I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and Hurricane Sandy came through. You might remember.
Yep. Not going to sound for 2 weeks. Yep. Yeah.
And I call it the gift. Like, that hurricane was really a gift for me, because I left school that day. You know, I don't even listen to news anymore because it's so over the top hyped.
Right. It's really not healthy. Yeah, it's just not healthy to listen to the news. If it's that big of a deal, you'll find out about it from somebody.
Well, yeah, I found out because I didn't believe what I heard. You know, they were hyping up this hurricane that was
right.
coming. And
yeah.
I left school. I had no lesson plan book, no paper script. I'm like, oh, I'll be back here tomorrow.
Yeah, and sure.
Not.
Right, maybe a day, right?
Yeah, wasn't back for what? 2 weeks because
2 weeks,
we
right.
the schools for the shelters for you know, all the people that had no power, electricity, all of that stuff. But I call it my gift, because that was really 2 weeks that I say I wrote a book about this. And the first chapter is like, I came out of robot mode, and I didn't have a lesson plan book. I didn't have any parents to call. I didn't have any papers to grade. And for the first time in probably my whole life at that point,
right.
I had time. And when you have time, your brain teaches
right.
you.
Start thinking about, oh, wait a second. Yeah, I bet you a lot of people went through that mm-hmm. during those kind of crises, you know, and during coronavirus too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we all were given the gift of time. You know, I say time is the great equalizer.
If it is.
Use it. It's nobody has more or less than anyone else. If you're still living, and how you use your time is what's going to happen.
Right. Right.
So anyway, I realized during that couple weeks where I had nothing, no school-related work, is that I did not want to do this anymore. And it wasn't like that happy moment where you jump up and have an epiphany, but more of a moment of grief of, wow, I really do like the working with the kids part, but this, the politics of school and the testing and all of this, it was
right.
just weighing
yeah.
me down. And so I decided I was going to leave. That was October. And I left in June. So I finished that school year.
Okay.
And to be honest, I don't have like this really fluffy story about, oh, I always knew I wanted to be a marketing strategist.
Did like, you even know what you were going to do at that point?
No.
No. You just knew you weren't going to do what you were doing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good place to start, I guess, right?
That was the motivation. And
right.
so I literally got on Facebook at some point during that 2 week period and I said, I think I want to start a business. Who knows a business coach that can help me get to the bottom of
this? That's funny. Well, it's probably a good way to start though, if you really don't know
yeah.
what you want to do.
Yeah. So somebody connected me with a lady named Anastasia. She was my coach for 3 years, and we really dove into what are my strengths? How would I want to be spending my time? And I actually came out of teaching and started as a content and copywriter. And
okay.
it was a great fit for me because I had been teaching 6th, 7th, and 8th grade reading and writing, and I knew how to let's be real. I taught them how to pass a test. Like, first and foremost, right. That was the job, but also how to tell a story, how to engage people with their writing. And so I thought, well, I know I could do this and probably make some money at it. So that's really where I started. And then I'm in my 7th year of business now, have a multi 6-figure business. I've pivoted many times and my barometer is always joy. So if I wake up and I'm not in joy, I pivot immediately and create something that's joyful. And that is a methodology that I'm known for around the world now.
But that's a good methodology because people need more joy in their life. Generally, we worry about all kinds of stuff. We're always thinking about, usually we're thinking about things that 9 times out of 10 don't happen. I was just talking to somebody this morning. It's one of the skills I think that you got to develop in life, right? Is to kind of take the air out of the balloon and recognize whatever you're worried about probably isn't going to happen, you know? But I think a joyful approach is a smart way to approach things.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the fast forwarded version. And I do want to say I'm super excited. So in addition to like joyful marketing and what I'm known for and helping coaches and consultants do that, I'm working on my next book, which is called The Joyful Experiment.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful body of work that is all about what if we did experiment more and play with joy and things that would bring us joy, like how much more joy could we add to our lives every day?
Right, so
I've been immersed in that for the last few weeks.
Right. And I think there's a lot of people that could, they're not happy what they're doing. They could change what they're doing. They just, like you said, they're in their robotic type of they get up, they shower, they put their clothes on, they get their breakfast, they go meet their friend for coffee, they get to work, they do their thing, they finish up work. And it's a constant thing. And I think you're right. When something happens, like whether it's Sandy or coronavirus, or whatever, that breaks that cycle, That's when we kind of wake up and go, you're not walking on the same street anymore. You're not turning the same way to work. You got to, maybe I don't have to do it this way. And I think a lot of people are realizing that now. They don't have to do it that way. So going back, do you remember like the first few clients that you worked for, how you got them? It says, hi, I'm going to write your copy. Who are you? Oh, I was a teacher for 15 years. I mean, the fact that you're a reading and writing teacher is definitely good for the resume.
Yeah.
How'd you get started? You remember?
Well, I had somehow had quite a few friends in the wedding industry.
Okay.
And wedding planners.
Yeah. Planners, in that space, photographers, DJs, right? The whole thing.
Exactly. And so I just started reaching out to them one-on-one. I always celebrate something when my clients do this, and it's called the ask. So Are you brave enough to make the ask, right? Okay. And so I reached out and said, hey, I'm leaving teaching and I'm starting this business. And would you like help with your blog? Blogging was just kind of getting started back then. Would you like help with your about page? So I tried to find ways to engage with them, and then they were so happy because none of them want to write their own shit.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Referred. And I still have to this day quite a few clients come from the event and wedding industry. They asked me back to speak last year in Bahamas at their annual whatever
convention of some sort.
It's really nice. It's
good thing
really
that was last year.
I know.
You wouldn't be going this year.
It was in January of last year.
Right. But I think that's a good lesson, right? Because sometimes you just need to reach out. First of all, I think people that especially if you're making a career change where you weren't out networking and developing business and so forth, that we don't give ourselves enough credit for the networks that we have and the people that we know. And if we sit down and make a list of, really make a list, like spend the time and make a list of all the people that we know and would know us and so forth. You can do a lot with that.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So I think that's good advice. That's a good, you started with the resources that you had. Mm-hmm. And what's the worst that's going to happen? Say, oh, it's really not a good time, Shannon. I'd love to, nobody's going to slam the door in your face. And what are you, an idiot? And heck, that's just not going to happen. Right. So,
And it's all about relationships at the end of the day.
Yep.
Right. Like, even if they weren't interested, they're not going to be assholes about it.
No, they're your friends. You're nice to them. They're going to say, hey, Shannon, you know what? I really don't have a use for that. But I know my friend John was just telling me the other day that he is killing himself over writing his website. It's killing him. And right?
Yeah. And that's really how this business has grown. And the reason I didn't stay a copy and content writer as it got going is one, I was referred, which was great. But like the next little pivot in the story is I'm on vacation in North Carolina. Okay. Vacation, air quotes, for those
of you. Outer Banks?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. But air quotes, because you, now that you're an entrepreneur, you got to work.
Well, no.
Always something to handle.
Yeah, well, that shit don't happen anymore, so we can.
Well, yeah, but you've developed into, yeah, me neither.
What happened was everyone needed, I was on everyone's deadline for their launches, for their website. Like, they waited till last moment to
right.
get. So I'm there at the beach on my computer, and I'm like, this is not going to work.
Right. Long-term. This is like a short-term problem you want to get away from.
And it's like, every time I would go on a vacation as a teacher, I was grading papers or writing lesson plans. I'm like, I didn't sign up for this.
Which you don't think about that with a teacher. You think, oh, you time off, you're on your vacation, you don't have to do anything. That's not true. You spend more time preparing for things than you do actually teaching.
Yeah.
Very underappreciated. But I think that that's good, right? Because I think a lot of people, like, you start out doing something, right? Because that was your skill. You had context, you're making money. But then you realize very early on, well, if I continue down this road and don't, you know, present myself in a certain way, I'm going to get stuck doing this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be, because that's what will happen. People will refer you to what they're familiar with that you do. So everybody will be referred. That's all you'll be getting. And you don't want, you obviously realize early on, you didn't want that. So
Yeah.
I like to pull out the little lessons as we go.
Yeah. Good. And the lesson too, like the biggest lesson that I really want everyone to take away is when it starts getting not joyful, you have a choice.
That's a sign. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
A sign.
You do have a sign. Don't feel like you have to do it. You got to do everything. You can't. I think the best thing day I ever had was when I told a client, listen, I just can't do that. You can call my friend John. I can't do it. And you feel better about it. You have more control of your life. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I guess when you're starting out, right, you try and do everything. But look, even if you get down to like, what's that book I'm reading? The One-Page Marketing Plan, right? Mm-hmm. Where you really get focused on what you're doing. That doesn't mean you can't do other things. It doesn't mean if I have trouble with writing and I called you, Shannon, because I know you're a good writer. Say, Shannon, listen, I'm really having trouble with this. It just doesn't make sense. Can I run it by you? That doesn't make you a copywriter all of a sudden again.
Yep.
But it's not the way you want to hold yourself out to the world.
Yeah.
I do a lot of stuff, but I specialize in writing the agreements that help you run your startup and run your business. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I can have a conversation about a lot of things, but then people don't, they don't know what you, it's like a big smorgasbord of mm-hmm. not knowing what you do. So, but I think that's a testament to you that you were the kind of person that could just, I mean, you kind of really controlled things from the beginning in your own mind, right? You're like, that's not making me happy. And you turn the next corner. Whoop, that's not making me happy either. So I'm going to go this direction.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I say. Joy is a journey. And you have to stay present, right? Because if you get in robot mode, you stop.
Which is easy to happen, right?
So easy.
You're not careful. Yeah.
And you stop.
We're creatures of habit. You know, we're comfortable with that, I guess, right? That's what makes us comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know what I also like, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, is that you not only are a joyful person, like that was important to the way you were building your business, but now you've incorporated it into what you do for people. Like, you're like, this is what I do. I want you to do it too, because it's a healthy way to live. So anyway, back to your story.
Thank you. So that's pretty much it. That's really like where I was, the pit stops, where I am now.
Okay.
And joy is the barometer, is a great way to look at everything.
And how do you define for yourself joy? Is it how you feel about things, or, you know, why do you define it?
Yeah. So in my new book, I've been, you know, parsing this out, because joy and happiness are actually interchanged. And to me, they're very different.
Okay.
So happiness is a feeling.
Okay.
And, you know, you're happy about lasagna for dinner.
Okay. It's like a fleeting thing, you mean?
Yes, it's a fleeting thing that can come and go. Mm-hmm. Whereas joy, what I have found and what I teach, is actually it's available to everyone, and it's a daily practice. And so, you know, in the world,
so almost like it's a verb.
It's a verb, yeah. It's a declaration. It's an act, and it doesn't mean every single moment I'm like in a state of joy? No, but I can get there when I remember to use my tools.
Right.
And that it's a practice, a state of being, right?
An attitude, a strategy, the way you approach things.
Yeah. And so that's really like a sneak peek into the body of work that's emerging.
And from the book. When do you, is it in a manuscript form yet or is it still being written?
Well, I'm actually illustrating and writing the book.
Oh, nice. You're an artist too. Very nice.
Well, I'm a budding artist, but I found like a format that I like. It looks kind of like this.
Nice.
So I just ordered all the note cards, blank note cards, and I'm going to start building like storyboard. But the course, I have a program that's launching in mid-October 2020 called the Joyful Experiment Business Edition.
Right.
And so we're going to have different editions for people that want to focus on bringing more joy into those specific places. So that's really, you know, the course is the book is the course. It's just all kind of come together.
Right. It's part of the same wheelhouse. So do you consider yourself more of a coach, motivational speaker person, or more of a marketing strategy?
Yeah. This is such a fascinating question. So I am a marketing strategist and consultant for all the people who want help marketing and selling their stuff.
We're talking small business owners, entrepreneurs, corporations.
Coaches and consultants who are online. So I take their intellectual property and we monetize it, if you will. And find the way for them to market and sell it. But this weekend I had to sit down and do like a new little bio, if you will, for the joy work, because it's a different kind of work. And so we landed on, I'm your joy ambassador. And I am the one who's going to help you create joy, lasting joy, in your life, in your business, whatever it is, in your relationships. And so it was really fun to really think outside of marketing and selling this weekend and kind of drop into this new being.
Yeah. Now you said we landed on, do you have a team of people?
Yeah, I have a team. So I've got a virtual assistant, an online business manager, a spouse who's deep in these conversations, and a graphics person.
Okay.
And I got a little small team going on. So I emailed them a whole bunch, like, your joy mentor, your joy advocate, your joy. And they all came back and said ambassador.
That's what they like.
Joy ambassador for people.
Right, very good. Yeah, I mean, I say we sometimes, but it's like me, myself, and I, all three of us for the most part. I got a little bit of help here and there, but it's good to build a team around yourself.
So good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk more about then the kind of things that you help business owners do. Maybe let's focus on marketing for the moment.
Sure. Yep.
Because I think that with all the business plans that I work on and the planning that I talk to people about from a legal standpoint, it always gets down to, well, it usually gets down to two or three things. Well, financials is not what we're talking about, but a lot of people don't know their numbers, right? So they have no way to kind of gauge what they're doing or if they're being profitable. But the bigger issue is marketing and probably knowing like who they want to target and do business with, like who their ideal customer is. So it always comes down to marketing. So that's why I wanted to kind of address that.
Yeah. So marketing and messaging, that's where I spend most of my time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where the copywriting background has like paid off.
I'm sure. Yeah. Because people are not clear about what it is they do. You go to these Zoom meetings or whatever, and pee the bed. It's just unbelievable. Somebody will say something and I'll text a friend, you know, chat like privately. And I'll be like, Shannon, I have no idea what this guy does. And you're right back. Me neither. You know, and they're talking and they're just like coming out of their mouth. So messaging is huge.
Hard, right. It's hard. And part of the reason.
To learn skill, you know.
Hard is because.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21,000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
This could be a seminar.
Of course it can. I know people that do training just on elevator pitches. I mean, you know, yeah.
Here's the thing. In the online marketing space, which is where I hang out, there's been an evolution. And thank God we're like back on the side of like not swarmy, crazy guru tactic shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that all has a lasting effect. And so one of the reasons I'm so adamant about putting joy in front of marketing, so joyful marketing is like the platform that we talk about, all things joy, is that it is not joyful if you're sitting around trying to come up with 12 words to describe what you do when three will do it.
Right.
But you've been taught somewhere along the line to make it fluffier, to make it more interesting.
Right.
Like one of the things I think I'm most famous for right now, and we're running a workshop called Magnetic Messaging.
Okay.
Is
I like that name.
Say what is.
Right.
Like just say what is.
Yeah.
Cut it down as much as you can and know that it's perfectly fine. The right people are going to resonate with it and they're not going to have to read between the lines to figure out what you're about, what you're selling, how you.
They're not going to remember 90% of what you just said anyway.
No.
I'm in this Zoom group on Fridays. They're in most of them in London and here. So we did this thing called the 6-word challenge. Like you had to describe your business in 6 words. Last Friday, we did it in 3. Because we all agreed that, you know, beyond 5 or 6 words, nobody's really going to remember what you do anyway. So you might as well boil it down. Right?
Yeah, it's so key. And so when I work with coaches and consultants who have online presence, one of the first things we do is just look at all their messaging. Because more often than not, their LinkedIn looks different than their
all over the place. Right. Yeah, no, there's no
like
consistency.
Multiple personalities going
right.
On.
I don't think people really think about like that kind of branding and stuff for themselves, and they really should. There should be a consistent message as to what they do. And sometimes they're just overwhelmed. They don't.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't check that too often, whatever. Well, other people do. So you better, if it's out there, you better be consistent. I better check mine after we get off this call.
I'll go check for you.
I'm usually pretty on top of it, but I could be off.
Yeah. Check. And I call this thought leader branding, if you will. So I don't deal with any of the visual stuff, but all of those words and your message from platform to platform and what's on your sales page, if you're working to sell a service, they're so important. And 9 times out of 10, people just have way too much that says nothing.
Right, right. Well, they think the more they say, you know, the worst thing in sales is like talking too much. Like the last person that when it's silent in the room, the next person to talk loses. I think that especially a young salesperson who's not skilled and nervous, whatever, what happens. They just talk too much. And I think people are doing the same thing on their social media pages.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Or they're not talking at all. And then they wonder why nobody's calling them.
Right.
You know, right. That's a visibility thing. And that often stems from, it's the same problem, if you will, is they don't know what to say. So they either don't say anything or they say way too much.
People know me. I mean, if they need me, they'll call.
Yeah.
No, they're bombarded with messages on a minute by minute daily basis. They don't mean it.
Yeah.
They like you. They just don't remember you because our minds are just inundated with stuff. Look, that's why you have to put everything in writing. That's what I do for a living, right? It's not that your partner is going to take advantage of you or your spouse is going to cheat. Well, the spouse is a bad example, but I think they should have a contract too. But you know what I mean? So in business, whatever it is, you won't remember correctly. I don't care what it is, whatever you guys agreed to, whatever you thought you talked about, you will be sure it was this and the other person will be sure it was that and you'll both be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where minds work. So yeah, messaging is huge and leaving it simple. Simple stays in your mind easier. It's easier to recall, remember.
Yeah. And it's why we took joyful marketing as...
That's easy. It's an easy concept.
Because here's the thing.
It's a feel-good concept too.
Says to you, oh man, I'm having trouble with marketing. Oh, you should go have joyful marketing.
Right. You don't look joyful enough. You need joy in your life. You should have changed the M to J. It could be joy, Shannon Hernandez. You know?
So once we work on the messaging, call it magnetic messaging. So where your messaging needs to do two things. And this is where a lot of people need some support.
Listen up, everybody. Okay.
Yeah. It needs to attract and repel.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
And until you have a message that does both attract and repel, you have a vanilla message that is not resonating with anyone.
So you mean attract the people you're looking for, but repel the people that you're not looking to do business with.
Exactly.
Okay, good. I've never heard that before. That's great. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's really important that your voice in your writing or your videos or whatever that is strong enough. That you are upsetting the apple cart a little, because then we know that people are actually paying attention.
I always celebrate compelling, you mean?
Yeah, I always celebrate my clients who get hate mail. I'm like, you have arrived.
Wow. Yeah, I don't get any hate mail. You're right. If somebody's that into what you're saying, they're taking that time out of their life, either nutcase or they're taking that much out of their life to write you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got some bad reviews once, but the ironic thing with my old firm, we got a couple of bad reviews on like Google. They weren't even clients of our firm. I couldn't even figure out who these people were. I'm posting things like, you never did business with our firm. Yeah. There was one guy who was, he owed money to a client of ours. So we had to send him letters, whatever. So he's complaining like we were doing something to him. I don't know what to do about stuff like that. But yeah, you're right. If you're definitely doing a good job making an impact if you piss people off. Because they will always react, by the way, before they react out of the happy, you know, it's what is, you have a good experience and you tell four or five of your best friends, you have a bad experience, you tell 100 people that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you know, when you build community with your content and your marketing and you're like, come from this, I say, come from the heart, come from a place of joy.
Yeah.
If I miss a Tuesday, so I email my list on Tuesday, man, if I miss one of those, there are people in our inbox on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Are you okay? Where's the news this week?
Yeah, I have the same fear. It's like Tuesday, Fridays, or podcast days. If it all of a sudden stops, they're going to think you died of coronavirus. You don't want that.
Yeah. So it goes both ways. You're going to have the love, but you're also going to have the people who are repelling. And that's okay, because not everyone is, we can't help everyone anyway. They're not all our clients,
and
right?
You don't want to do business with everyone.
Yeah.
People think that they should.
Yeah. So once we work on magnetic messaging, then we move into marketing, joyful marketing strategy.
Okay.
And we create what I call revenue roadmap. And the revenue roadmap helps you see, okay, I'm doing this first, and then it leads to this. And it's very simple. It's a very simple diagram. And, you know, I'm going to illustrate this for anyone watching the video. But when my clients come to me, they often say, this is what it looks like. Whole bunch of scribbles on the paper, and that's their brain. And they're seeing things like WTF and where do I start? And
right. No, there's no process, right? Yeah.
I what should I charge and what should I sell and who am I talking to? Right. And then when we go through a revenue roadmap intensive, right? We sit down for a few hours and we map it out. It's this linear first, second, third that adds up to like this magical income that that's important to them, their monthly revenue goal, right? That's why it's called a revenue roadmap. And they're just happy and they go out. And I just did this with a client a couple weeks ago. She emailed me this weekend and she said, I am so excited. I did exactly what we said to do. even though I was a little scared because I wasn't sure it was going to work. And I just signed my first $10,000 client.
There you go. And process that works.
Yes, it works over and over and over again.
Right, of course.
First is messaging, then revenue roadmap, then we build you a 90-day, one-page marketing strategy that you can rinse and repeat over and over again and just fill your practice with lovely clients who...
Right. Now that's a marketing business development plan. So that should be part. So I always tell people they don't understand. They think a business plan is something else, like they're starting their business. So they write this whole business plan, then it goes in the drawer and they never see it again. That's the marketing plan, which is probably one of the most important parts of the plan. But then they got to work on, they got to know their numbers. They got to do this. They got to do that. But, but if you have no clients, then the rest of it's kind of a waste.
Yeah. I want to read something to you. I just wrote a sales page for myself.
Okay.
For revenue roadmap. And because you brought this up, I actually want to say this. The copy says, side note, okay, if you have a multiple page business plan that makes you want to pull your hair out just thinking about it, throw it away.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. And if you never created one of those because it just didn't feel right, kudos for following your intuition. It's not needed. Yeah. That's the kind of copy I write.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And listen, I want to make sure that I make my comment. It's not that people don't need a business plan. Mm. It's what their interpretation of it is that's wrong.
Well, and that's it. Because yeah, you should use it. It should be usable. It should be related.
Right.
A tool that's out.
A tool, right. You should be working on it at all times. You should know what you're, you know, what's profitable, what's not profitable. You have this revenue roadmap. You should know that the kind of people you want to bring into your funnel, let's call it, are the people that are going to be the most profitable for you. And that all mm-hmm. fits together. And if you have people, do you treat them right? And what kind of personnel yeah. do you need? And what, you know, it all fits together. But yeah, you need a working yeah. document. It could be in parts on your computer. It could be, you know, it's not, it's just something where we don't remember things. So you need to go back and say, because look, somebody works with you, right? And then 8 months from now, they're off track, right? It happens. And they have your roadmap to go back.
Exactly.
And to take a look at where was I? Oh, that was working. Why didn't I do that? I yep. should. And they go back to doing it. And if you don't, you'll never go back to it again because you're bombarded with other things. I'm a big fan of, keep in touch, you know, programs that keep in touch with your clients, because obviously your referral network and your clients are more important than the people you absolutely don't know. Don't go after them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever read the book, The Referral of a Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So we're doing it at a book club in my study group too, because they were like, oh, let's do a book club. And I'm like, oh, well, we got a referral of a lifetime. It amazes me how many people don't keep in touch with reach out, provide items of value, whatever it is to people, to be a thought leader. It doesn't have to ask them to buy something all the time. And I know that because I would be on their mailing list if they did.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of it's like you said, it's all scribbles and they just can't, you know, get their head around it. And that's where the simple marketing stuff, you know, have the few things that you got to do to meet the right person, to send out the message and to do this, do that. I have, you know, everything systematized, and it's taken me a while to get there.
Yeah.
But you gotta keep building those systems, like you said, that lead to the stuff that you like. And I like the whole joy approach, because if this isn't fun and enjoyable and bring value and positivity to your life, then go get a job, work for a company, be miserable for the rest of your life. At least you don't have to worry about half the stuff that you do as a business owner, you know?
Yeah.
It's gotta be fun on the worst days. I mean, I'm not saying it's fun 20 hours a day. There's plenty of stress running your own business. But if 9 times out of 10, you can look back and say, yeah, I do like doing this. Sometimes they need you to remind them of it.
Yeah.
Then that's, you know, then you keep going forward.
Well, you know, in that roadmap that you're talking about, it is a guide to guide you. And when you're in tune with it, you can look back, like you said, and say, and it could just be a small tweak, right? Like, I use Facebook a lot. That's really what I prefer. And so I'm over in Facebook, and my group got unjoyful. But my group makes me a lot of money. And so I had to figure out, what was unjoyful here? Like, what took me out of joy?
It was the conversation they were having or something?
No, it was how, so I used to, up until a couple months ago, part of my marketing strategy, my revenue roadmap, was running workshops in my Facebook group.
Okay.
And they were great and profitable from November to May, however many months that is. They were amazing. Like, we made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, I'm also in that group. I'm active in the group. I'm building leaders in the group. Like, it's not like I just scoop into a group and make that kind of money. But I had lost the joy because I felt like I was in launch mode every time I went to do these kind of workshops. And I hate launch energy. It is not joyful for me. It is draining. So
it's hard to launch things. Yeah.
The energy, it's a lot of push energy, right? Which just it's not fun for me. So anyway, instead of scrapping the whole Facebook group, I just reworked how I'm going to show up in there and what I'm going to do. And so now we're trying some new things. But I could have been the person, had I not had a roadmap, said Facebook isn't working anymore.
It's right, of course. That's what people say.
And throw it out. But thank God I didn't do that because I actually love my group.
This made me think of something. I think that people do that a lot. Like, they use their one or two examples that this not work. You know, they owned one apartment and they rented it out and there was a plumbing problem and the tenant was a pain in the ass. And that's their whole experience in real estate. And they're like, this never works.
Yeah.
Like, well, it must work because there's a lot of people in the real estate business that own real estate, but one unit that you had by accident, because you couldn't sell it and you decided to rent it, is not an example. So one experience, or you're having one trouble on Facebook, you don't just say, oh, this isn't working. Well, it's working for somebody. You know that because there's thousands of Facebook groups that are successful on Facebook. So it's kind of need a better approach, I think, or a better outlook saying, well, it's working for somebody, so let me figure it out.
Well, I think it's like being in tune with, I would say, your joy.
Yeah, that's your favorite word.
Right. It's my favorite word.
Yeah, but it's what you want to be associated with, right?
But it's also being in tune with that so that you know when you're out of joy, you can not go out of joy for 5 years, but for 5 minutes or 5 days, and then stop and reflect and say,
right,
okay, what is this here actually? And then course correct.
Yeah, there's a difference between falling off the wagon and giving up.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's what you're there for, to remind them.
Yeah.
So now you do a lot of kind of coaching, right?
I do. I do a lot of consulting. And I do, you know, I'm a teacher at heart. So I do a lot of programs where people get to come in and work with me, maybe over the course of a week and a half, or a 3 day, a 3 hour intensive, or a 2 day online retreat. But I'm able to reach more people and give them a beautiful experience and great new ways to think about their marketing. And that's really where a lot of my joy is, because my one-on-one practice keeps booked out solid. Like, I'm just, there's never an opening. Like, I'll think I'm going to have, like, you know, I only take 5 one-on-one clients at a time. So per quarter. So I'm always like, yes, I'm going to like graduate these clients and have a little breathing space. And before I know it, 8 more on the list ready to go. And they
problems
come
problems that every business owner wants to have, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But they come from messaging that is resonating with people, right?
Sure.
If we're going to talk about it, and marketing that builds relationships, like we've talked about, and helps people feel joy again and hope and alive for their dream and for their business and what they're doing in the world. Because if your marketing isn't working and your messaging isn't working, you lose all those fuzzy, fun feelings.
Yeah, well, it's not, people are attracted to that kind of stuff, you know, feeling good about things, and they're not attracted to things that, I mean, and if they are, you don't want them as clients, that's for sure.
Nope. Not my people.
So, yeah. You know, that guy, yourmarketingsucks.com.
Yeah.
It's one way to approach it, but it's not exactly a joyful way to.
No.
But that's.
I would never go to that website.
Right. Of course not. That's not. We're not his target market. That's why it's on the radio, I guess. I don't know. You know?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's always funny to hear an ad on the radio for a website.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, like, you drive, write it down while you're driving. I don't know. You don't do that stuff. Now, the roadmap, is that like a download or something that?
Can I show you for the people that are actually like?
Can we put a link to it on the? in the show notes of the show?
Yeah, I can give you a link to the page.
Okay, great.
So this is like what we said, people come before and they're like, okay. Oh my God, I don't, it's just like.
That's the before, right?
Yeah, this is the before. Then what we do is we create something that looks more like, ooh, some of these are going to be messy because they're current clients and we're like updating them.
Don't
right?
show me anything. I got a blackout because I don't know how to do that.
No, I won't.
Okay.
They all love it when I share their stuff. Yep. So this is Aaliyah. Okay. So look at that. Okay. So she knows over here that she's going to do videos and posts on her personal page and Facebook group, and she has a newsletter, and that leads to an experience called Heal Your Heart Experience, which took place in August.
Okay.
And then she enrolls them into her program called Inside Out Love. It's a 3-month group program. This is what we want.
Right. That's a funnel.
It's a fun. Oh man, I probably can't say
that. You probably can work that out.
I really want to say, but I ran a course once called.
You can say friggin'.
Frick the funnels. Now
you
talk about like disruptor.
Yeah.
But because you know, funnels traditionally, it's like 52 moving parts,
right, exactly.
And 38 emails that need, nobody finds joy in that shit, right?
No. So
we build this one page, beautiful roadmap. You can hang on your wall, tape it on your desk, carry it to the park with you, whatever you're going to do. And it's colorful and it's fun. And people know exactly what they're supposed to be doing to sell their stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, it brings a larger group down to a smaller group down to business. Yeah. It's the way funnels should work, not be like 42 steps and 27 emails that go out. And if they did this, this happens. And they did this, this happens. And I mean, I've tried to do one of those things, like those CRMs where you have the little diet. I mean, I get a headache, so I stop. It's
just, yeah.
I like the way I do it. I do it simply, you know.
I used to write those for people, and my brain does work that way, and I can whip out some copy for 38 emails, but who wants 38 emails? Yeah. You don't.
I don't even want 5.
No. Give them what they want. Keep it moving. Like, just make the rest of your follow-ups great from week to week in your marketing. They will not forget you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I have, when I meet somebody, I don't know if that happened to you, but when I meet somebody, they have an appointment with me. Their email goes into my list. They get, I don't know, 4 or 5 emails about my practice. Then that's it. Then they just get like weekly podcasts and reminders and notices and happy Thanksgiving and whatever. Yeah. They're on my list. And, you know, people unsubscribe sometimes, but that's fine. They're
you
allowed
know
to do
what,
that.
Mitch? This is like a bigger, a beautiful conversation to be had, that when your messaging and your marketing is resonating, you don't need to be bombarding people. Okay. That's one thing. But the second thing is, nobody wants all those emails. You and I don't read emails like that when they come to us.
Half the time, it just reminds me you're alive. That's fine.
Yeah, that's it. But the other thing is, like, this is kind of the old guru marketing style, which is, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but only give them one call to action, because they're not, what they were saying is they're actually not smart enough to make a choice for themselves, right?
Right.
And every time I write like an email, like one will be going out Thursday and it'll say, there's 2 ways you can come learn with me in October. And I'm going to give them both links and a little blurb. And guess what? I trust that they're smart, that they can sign up for both or one or none, and it'll all be good. And I don't have to like plummet them with messaging.
Well, I think that that's a good strategy anyway, because psychologically, I think I've read that it's better to give them a choice of doing one or the other versus if you say, do you want to do this? The answer is yes or no. Well, you don't want it to be yes or no. You want it to be either this or this. You don't care which one they choose.
Yep.
You know, you give them a simple decision. So well, that's some of that psychological, I guess.
This is just good, being a good human being on the other side of the marketing.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a big fan of, you know, run your business like people matter. And if more companies did that, the world would be a better place. You know, be a leader that is transparent and caring and supportive and honest. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes things do suck, but we're going to get through it and feel better about it afterward. You know,
that's it right there.
So yeah, well, maybe some things will change in the next couple of months. So Shannon, is there any, 'cause I'm taking up a lot of your time here, but is there any like final comments, wisdom, issues, things you want to close out the podcast with for all the inquiring minds who want to know?
Yes. I just say, I want everyone to experience more joy every day in your life and in your business. So keep joy at the front of all decisions. And if you are not joyful in your business and you want to get back to joy, or you want more joy in your business, come find me online. I hang out in joyful circles.
What's the best way to get in touch with you and to connect with you?
I would say my website is
okay. We'll put it in the show notes, but what is it?
It's M as in Mary, ShannonHernandez.com.
Okay. All one word. And then also you said you're on Facebook and you're on LinkedIn too?
Facebook, LinkedIn, yep, and Instagram for people who love visual content.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.